delighted that there are so many people interested in reading our sacred text. Henceforth, to receive that honor, you're going to have to compete for it by arm wrestling. Yes, maybe we can make sprinting one of the criterion for being a nativity lector. Fabulous. Welcome to Trinity Sunday. This is a lesser-known church occasion, but significant enough to warrant the color white. This will be the last time, except for the occasional baptism, that you will see the altar and the clergy bedecked in white for 26 weeks. That will be Christ the King Sunday, the Sunday right before Advent. Today's important in the life of our church and in our faith. Today, we celebrate a doctrine. Trinity Sunday is famous for being the only church festival that celebrates a doctrine. Most of what we celebrate are events like the resurrection at Easter or the incarnation at Christmas. And to make matters yet more obscure, as if we needed to do that, the name of this doctrine, Trinity, is nowhere to be found in the Bible. Trinitarian theology is rather obscure. It is the belief that Father, Son, and Spirit are one but three. And if the traditional language of Father, Son, Spirit is disquieting for you, feel free to use more modern language like Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Those work too. Very few theologians make as much sense of Trinitarian theology as Richard Rohr, whom you know is a Franciscan priest and a spokesman for a really vibrant Christian faith. He reminds us that early Christians imagined the Trinity as a dance, so that there was an unending flow of give and take in a circle among Father, Son, and Spirit. And in this view, God is not only the dancer, God is the dance. I just think that's lovely. What a wonderful image. Going one step further, Richard Rohr says that this, in fact, is the pattern of the universe. Give, receive, give, receive. If you get nothing more out of Trinitarian theology, get that is the life force of the universe, give and receive. So many people think reality is a system of take, take, take. They spend their lives anxiously clutching whatever they have in the fear that it will be taken away, that they will lose. Give and receive. It's the operating system of the universe. Richard Rohr has more to say about the Holy Trinity. He says, Trinitarian theology was almost made to order to confound the logical mind. If actually considered and then contemplated, God as Trinity breaks down the binary either-or system of the brain. To encounter the Trinity makes us patient before mystery and humbles our judgmental, dualistic minds. That last sentence is for me. That is just such an insight. To encounter the Trinity makes us patient before mystery before which we're often impatient and demanding. I want to know. I want to experience. And humbles our judgmental, dualistic minds. We're so good at that, so quick on the draw to judge. Nevertheless, having just said that, I am now going to become shamelessly dualistic. Because I want to contrast two different ways of being Christian. One way regards Christianity as a system of truth, which it is, certainly. But taken to the extreme, truth-seeking becomes an exhausting exercise in morality. Yes, morals are important, but they're seldom absolute. And yes, we must teach our children morality and stress that there is no reason for being bad or for doing bad things. But the black and white clarity of youth so quickly gives way to the grays of adulthood. For example, the Bible condemns divorce. The Bible is clear about saying it is a bad thing. In fact, I think one of the minor prophets, there's a little quote in there that says, God hates divorce. Nevertheless, both the Old and the New Testaments give precedence for divorce, why people may be divorced, and procedures for accomplishing it. Christianity as a system of truth. There's another way to regard our faith as a system of relationship. That too can be taken to the extreme. One of the shortcomings of a relational model is that we long to ascribe to those with whom we are in relationship all kinds of good and desirable qualities. We want to elevate them and enthrone them. But not everybody is good. And not every good person is purely, utterly, thoroughgoingly good. The criminal justice system can help us out with this. They have a neat way of labeling those people who are not good by not calling them bad, right? They call them antisocial. They have antisocial tendencies. They are typified by a lack of remorse for anything done. And the inability to feel what others feel. That lack of empathy, research has shown, can drive them to do very bad things. Christianity as a system of relationship can't have any better expression than the Holy Trinity. Three who are one, the Father with the Son and Spirit, Son with the Father and Spirit, Spirit with Father and Son. One solitary, unified God is a community of love, ever flowing round and through each other. I like that some theologians use the word interpenetrate, so that the three persons of the Trinity constantly flow in and out of each other. In the ultimate of vulnerability, openness, and free-flowing love. So, this being Trinity Sunday, and my assertion being that Christianity is a system of relationship, I thought I'd become rather personal and tell you how it is that I relate to Trinity. By far, the most intriguing relationship I have is with the Holy Spirit. Scripture has much to say about the Spirit as teacher, guide, leader, companion. There is real tenderness there. In fact, 1 Thessalonians warn, do not quench the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't say to the Holy Spirit, shut up. Rather, learn how to decipher how the Spirit is with you. There is a distinctive feel to it for each of us. I'm not a horseback rider, but I understand the most subtle movements of the rider's body can direct the horse. The most subtle movements of God's Spirit can direct us. If we learn how to feel that, how to hear it. Here's a recent example. I agreed to write a devotional message for Together Colorado. It's the faith-based community organizing group that works on issues of social justice. My time frame was a month. So for a month, I thought about what I was going to write. Tossed around many ideas, many themes. About a week and a half before the deadline, I hit on one. It was brilliant. Full of insight, wisdom. I started writing, but I felt a real inner struggle, a resistance. Now, I'm no stranger to writer's block, so I kept on going, but the resistance grew, and I finally recognized it as the Holy Spirit. So I abandoned that topic. I started another, still resistance. I started another, still resistance. And I claim this as the Holy Spirit speaking to me, dancing with me, never harsh, never ugly. You can call this intuition if you like, but I experience it as a very subtle form of in-tuneness with God. Finally, I hit on something that had never entered my mind and wasn't at all what I wanted to say to this interfaith, politically organized or oriented group. But the devotion wrote itself. Whoosh! It was done. I've had to learn what the gentle restraining energy of the Spirit feels like. But there's a counterpart to that. It's an empowering energy of the Spirit, because all too often I'm just happy to sit and listen or do nothing. And I can feel something happening. And I kind of test it. Is this you, Holy Spirit? Do you want me to say this? This is never harsh or condemning, which is why I think it takes us so long to learn it. It's just that gentle. God's Spirit always uses a carrot, never a stick. My relationship with Jesus is different. Jesus is my friend. I can tell him things I can't tell anybody else. I can tell him things I can't admit to myself. Furthermore, he is my exemplar or example or inspiration. When I am absolutely resolved that I will never again be kind and loving to someone who has done something bad, hurt someone I love or me, when I've made that resolution, I think about the cross. We make a lot of Jesus being the divine Son of God, but he was also human. And it was a dying man shaking with pain who forgave his torturers for his execution. Maybe I can do a little better. my relationship with God the Father is different still. I don't think of God really too often as Father, just because it's too anthropomorphic for me, too human. Fathers aren't perfect, so why should I liken the radiance and purity and splendor of God to a human parent? I think of God as creator and giver. In fact, Scripture says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from God. So the key dynamic in this relationship is gratitude. I wouldn't expect that to be the case for everybody, right? You know, every marriage is different. Everyone's relationship with God is different. But gratitude, expressing itself today in worship and in song and in prayer and rejoicing, that is the chief characteristic of my kinship with God. Three very different kinds of relationships, one God. I know the early church labored over how the Trinity could be three in one, who are separate and united. They labored over how the Trinity related to itself or himself or herself. But I don't know if they spent much time wondering how we relate to Trinity. It's perfectly okay to pray to Jesus. It's perfectly okay to pray to the Holy Spirit. It's perfectly okay to pray to the Father. It's perfectly fine to have three different ways of relating to the divine life or more. Because holiness does not reside in things. Holiness resides in relationships. Christianity is a system of relationships.